Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. And our guest, who was going to be Vinnie Jones from Snatch, cannot make it in tonight. He's fallen ill, or his schedule will not permit it. I don't know what the deal is. As you know, though, Drew, I'm one of the few talk show hosts in America who does not like guests, and I'm fine when no one shows up.
You usually lean into them a little bit, though, when they don't show.
Don't care. Less work for me. That's the way I look at it. What? To me, when a guest doesn't show up here at my job,
one,
it's like...
One page of reading you don't have to do.
Well, a couple, half a page. I don't read the whole bio page. How dare you? But, no, I feel like when I was back in school and I had a substitute teacher.
Right.
Or we're showing a film during one of the classes. Yeah, right. Get to relax. Good. It's a weird way to go through life, constantly looking for that little opening to get out. Do you know what I mean? Did you go through school that way?
Not exactly.
You didn't?
I got over that about third grade.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I was in high school, and if there was a substitute, I'd open the door, and I'd see a strange person standing behind the teacher's desk wearing funky glasses and some bad jeans, and I'd go, oh, my God, ah. Light would come up above their head, and it was always, where's Mrs. Parker? I'm filling in for her. Ah, that's great. And for a couple days, a couple weeks? No, just today. Okay, that's good. That's still good.
Unfortunately, what happens when you go through the kind of training I had, you realize there is no escape. It's just... Punishment. Here it comes.
I was, my high school, my academic career was sort of the equivalent to what the boxers call the rope-a-dope. Just sort of leaning back and seeing what I could avoid without mounting any offense or putting my hands up. Henry?
Oh, hi.
You're 21. What's up?
Hey, just want to say you guys are really great. Adam, you're super funny. Drew, you're really smart, and I really appreciate the work that you do.
Thank you.
Kind of nervous here. Just want to ask you kind of a simple question. See, I'm a virgin, and I want to know if sex for the sake of sex alone is a healthy. It's just healthy. I mean, Dr. Drew, would you agree that sex by sexual intercourse alone, with no emotional involvement, no emotional investment, which is really what we seem to be looking at society today.
Sort of what God created, what God intended for us, though. But it can be healthy. The problem is that people overdo that. That becomes what sex is to them. And rather than something they can choose or not choose to do, it becomes a way of maintaining, I don't want to use words that are too ridiculous, but I would say homeostasis, so maintaining, managing your feelings.
Yeah,
sex becomes a way of a drug. And that's not healthy. Now, for somebody to have sexual intercourse and not be in love with somebody, that's a personal choice.
Guys can pull this off better than women can. But what's your story, Henry?
Well, my story is that because I seem to have reactions like women do, where I've had a bunch of opportunities to have sex, and I just don't follow through because I sometimes feel not an inner voice or anything like that, corny like that, but I just simply feel like I don't. Like I can't do it. I mean, I feel like if I would do it, I would just feel, I would just feel like, and you know, really empty, and just, and I would just continue doing it like a snowball.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It just
snowballs when you rape a chick in Montana woods during winter. Hey, Henry.
Yeah.
You gay?
No, a lot of people think I am, though. I mean,
yeah, well,
I mean, all my best friends thought
we're living in a democracy, you know, Henry.
Yeah.
Let's put it to a vote.
My best friend said, "Hey, if you don't have sex soon, you're gay." You know.
All right. Are you? Well, you're gay until proven otherwise.
Right, but
what's
not,
up
I
with
mean,
you?
I
are
know
you really?
I'm not. I know that I'm not gay. And
all right.
Listen to his idealized concept.
His reasoning is, if I have sex once, I'm going to go on some rampage.
No,
it will never end.
All guys that are virgins past, let's say, 17, immediately begin weaving together these sets of tales and circumstances. They get very philosophical about getting laid. Henry, are you a religious guy?
No, I'm not. I don't go to church at all.
All right.
My family's religious, but I don't.
Listen, don't think so much.
Yeah, that's
all. All the great humpers weren't great thinkers.
Right,
it
but
gets
I don't
want, in
I
the way.
In a way, I don't want to be a great humper, though.
It's a visceral activity, though. It's like skydiving. You can't intellectualize it too much. You got to go for it.
And by the way, if you want to be doing that in the context of a close relationship, why not get a close relationship going?
There you go.
Because maybe it's just my environment or the chances that I get, but I just seem like it.
Most people do get that choice. So the only difference between you and most people is you.
Thank you. That goes for all of yous. Brian?
Yes.
You're 23.
I am.
What's up?
Well, I found out last year that I have, through a blood test, that I have herpes, genital herpes.
You know, the blood test is fairly useless, but that's not an accurate way to diagnose herpes.
Why not?
I'd like to tell my doctor that because I never had an outbreak.
Well, then you probably don't have it.
Okay.
I mean, the only way, you should be careful, but the only surefire way to diagnose this is with viral culture, really.
Well, I can honestly tell you now that after the scare, I'm going to be careful.
Why did they even bother testing you? I mean, the accuracy of a test is dependent on the probability of it being positive. In other words, if you have no reason to order a test, then the probability of it being false positive is actually higher than being true positive.
Well, an ex-lover came down with it, a visual diagnosis, and she wanted to determine where she got it.
Mm.
So she took me.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it didn't look good for you when it came up positive.
Well, not at all, especially when, you know, the people that she suspected at that point, damn them and all this. And I said, you know, I don't like that talk because what if it is me?
Yeah.
And then now, damn me.
Yeah. I doubt it, but it's an interesting situation. It's still left a possibility of being...
Well, listen, Brian, if you've never had an outbreak of herpes, she couldn't really blame you for not knowing you had herpes.
By the way, very common. Very common.
Having herpes and not knowing. Not having an outbreak.
Most women who have herpes don't know they have it.
Okay, but then what about the blood test? Why is this so inaccurate?
It's just not a good test.
It isn't.
Yeah.
Why not? Why would it read positive for herpes?
Because it's for antibodies to herpes. It's a general... There are other antibody responses to herpes viruses that get picked up.
Yeah. That's very fascinating.
Well, that wasn't his question.
I don't know what his question was. Brian?
Sorry?
So what's the question?
Actually, the question that I had was, for the past 3.5 weeks, I've had mono.
Mm.
And that's a virus too, right?
Yeah.
Is it a herpes virus?
No.
Okay. I thought I had read that somewhere online.
Is it a herpes-type virus?
Uh-oh.
It's an Epstein-Barr virus, typically, or CMV, which I don't think that's a herpes class, but why? Why would that matter?
Well, I was curious if there's any way that they could maybe affect one another.
He's looking for an out.
No.
What he wants to say to his girlfriend is the reason a blood test came up positive because...
He just wants to know if he's going to...
Quite down.
This is much more recent.
Okay.
Listen, plenty of people have herpes. Nothing else occurs to them other than that infection. Nothing about having herpes puts them at risk for anything else.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
You're 20. What's up?
Yeah, I've been dating this girl, and she's got some weird things that turn her on. She, when we're, like, having sex or whatever, she likes to call me daddy. And, bang me daddy or whatever.
Yeah.
And
I call my lovers daddy, too.
Oh.
Although it's actually my dad I have sex with. Oh. So it fits. I mean, it works, you know. It's no confusion.
And also, like, what really turns her on is, like, when we're fooling around and, like, I call her a little slut. And she really gets all hot by that. And I'm trying to figure out why does that turn her on?
Yeah. Well, does she have any weird energy going on? You know what I mean?
She's pretty normal as far as I know, but, like, I mean, just
with Mike.
Well, listen, let me tell you, there's two, in my opinion, there's two reasons for girls who like a little naughty talk. One is somebody told them they were naughty, and the second one is someone told them they were a princess.
Too perfect.
And they're looking for a little change-up. Now, Drew, you may disagree with this, but most women... Even healthy, adjusted women who come from good environments like a little bit of a little rough trade in the sack sometimes.
Some
like a little dirty.
Being taken, being swept away.
Yeah, swept away by a big magic penis.
Mm-hmm.
And they like a little hair tug and a little you love it and a little. I mean, sex can be a little, you regress a little when you have sex.
Mm-hmm.
You grunt, you sweat, you turn into a little bit of a caveman.
Yeah.
And there's some women who are okay with that.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think it's a big deal.
No.
But if she's crying and yelling daddy and saying, choke me with your belt.
And if, by the way, there are other chaotic aspects of how she conducts herself in the relationship.
Mike?
Yeah, well, she also will, like, call me daddy, like, when we're not having sex, like just around the house, whatever.
How's her daddy?
He's a pretty nice guy, as far as I know.
Man, she's all right with him.
Yeah, they get along fine. She doesn't like her mother, but her and her dad seem to have a pretty good relationship.
And there's no other things that would no red flags in the relationship.
Not that I can see. I just think it's kind of strange. Sometimes she'll slip up and like say in front of one of my friends, and they kind of like look at me strange or whatever.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, but listen.
That's just
listen.
A term of endearment.
Yeah.
She might, some other weird name might slip out.
Yeah, I like daddy. I like big daddy better instead of small penis daddy, but daddy's fine.
Your girlfriend called you monkey nipples once at one of the Loveline rap parties.
I got no problem with that.
That was sick.
I like that. You know, I have sensitive nipples. I don't know if you know that. I like a little nipple play, Drew. Close your eyes and picture me enjoying some nipple play. Jennifer?
Yes?
You're 18. What's up?
I was wondering if it was possible for a 10-year-old to be depressed.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Drew will bring you some pictures from when he was 10.
What's up?
He'll show you depression.
He'll go to his room sometimes and say he wishes he was dead. He's very kind of laid back, and he doesn't do the regular 10-year-old boy things.
Hmm. It's just a red flag. Something is up. Maybe not depression, but something.
Okay.
Maybe nothing. Maybe it's just his constitution. But keep your eyes open.
Okay.
All right. Well, Drew, you got triplets, and they're all quite different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have two nephews. One of them is sort of moody and irritable most of the time, and the other one's just a little teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
Same vagina. That'd be my sister's.
Nice.
Same penis. That's my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you refer to most of your family members?
Penis and vagina? Yes. Yeah, pretty sure. My mom is the big vagina.
That's right, okay.
And my grandmother's the grand vagina. It's a French term. And that means big, large-scale vagina, or the gray vagina, we call it. And these kids are they're a year and a half apart. I swear to God, one of them is the moodiest kid in the world. The other's like it's like having a St. Bernard.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. Everything's the same. The environment's totally the same. Your boys, very different.
Very different.
Right?
Very different.
One of them is very athletic, very outgoing.
Yep.
The other one dresses like a woman, cries and masturbates.
There's a little bit of that in both of them. But
sings torch songs.
Yeah.
No, one of them's like a computer nerd, right?
Yeah. There's different. One's rigid and contained and controlling. The other's super open.
That's
and
you. And then the other one's your wife.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Be nice to have. Too bad you don't have a third, so you could find something sort of healthy
in the middle.
Yeah, that's what I'm
That'd
talking
nice.
About. So what do? You try to get the one who's real contained out of his shell a little bit,
yep.
And you try to reel in the one that's wild.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah, that's good times.
One that's fluid. I prefer to call him. Plays the piano like a MF. I
mean, really?
Oh.
And athletic.
They're both pretty athletic. They really are.
Well, Doug's the athletic one, right?
He's the athletic heart. Jordan is really the athletic.
Oh, I see.
Naturally.
Nathan?
Yeah.
You're 15. What's up?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've never had, like, a real long-term relationship. Like, never really many relationships whatsoever. Like, I've only had maybe about, like, two or three. And I don't know. It's like, I don't know why.
Yeah, you're 15.
You're 15. Relax.
Yeah.
Adam, how many you had by 15?
Well, let's see. By 15?
Yeah, not just the ones you imagined.
Yeah.
Not the ones, realistically. Real relationships.
Let me see here. 15.
I think 10th grade.
Let me count here. Okay, 10th grade.
Hold on.
That was 1979.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was 15 years old. So it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 0.
Zero. Had you kissed anyone by 15?
I tried to kiss myself.
Other than what you did in the mirror.
Hurt my back.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I had one girlfriend, Esty Chilidenko, when I was in the 7th grade.
I kissed her. Okay.
Yes, we made out.
One.
We made time to make out, and then she dumped me.
My whole things have changed.
And then I had, You know, the only thing worse than a nice dry run is a little sip of water before that long dry run. Asti was my little sip of water in the seventh grade. And then about a 10-year drought
nice.
After that.
Very nice.
Yeah, tough times. And feeling pretty good in the seventh grade.
And poor Nathan hasn't had more than three relationships, and he's 15. Imagine that.
All right, Nathan. Yeah,
I think sometimes I get jealous when, you know, when I see like couples at school, I guess.
Yeah, it's understandable. So did Adam.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's what you want, and just relax. It'll. The less desperate you are, the more likely you are to get there.
All right. Hey, I also had one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember about two years ago, a blind girl called?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I'm her brother.
She called. Well, we've had a few blind people call. I don't know if we got into the seeing impaired thing with her or not.
I think she was the first one that did that.
She called in and said it was hard for her to meet guys.
Right.
So, I don't know. She has, like, a boyfriend now. So.
She's doing okay?
Good.
Yeah, she's
doing
good.
Are you sure she's not dating a hat rack and just confused? It's an actual human being?
Yeah, I've met him. He's a good guy.
Oh, okay. Because you know how the blind are.
No.
And they can't see. They're like Mr.
Can't see. I'm making notes here. Blind, can't see. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
They're like Mr. Magoo.
Yeah.
They could be dating a hat rack and not know it for months sometimes. Sean? Sean, you're 17.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
What's up with you?
Nothing.
All right. Well, hold on, would you?
Okay.
All right. Let's talk to Adrian.
Yeah. I want to know if listening.
Ooh, turn that radio down, you brainiac.
All right.
You have to hear yourself asking, "What's up with you?" Nice. Sounded good, didn't it?
You never know how mean you are until you hear yourself in the background of a 14-year-old's bedroom.
Yeah, I want to know if you lift weights to feel like stunt your growth.
Well, if you do supplements, it can. It tends to stimulate the closure of the growth plates prematurely.
Really?
Yeah.
When you say supplements, what do you mean?
Just androstenedione.
You don't mean nostalgia. Like beef liver pills?
No. I mean like hormones. And it's not great for your joints and growth plates to be lifting, certainly not lifting heavy weights, but just general, you know, there's something up in the 12 rep range where you're not killing yourself with the heavy weight. Should be fine.
All right. So it's okay if I like bench press and stuff?
Yeah. Carefully. I mean, you use appropriate, make sure you're somebody's instructing you how to do it so you don't hurt yourself. Yeah.
Do you know if there's any way I could, like, get taller? If there's anything I could do?
You should have had your dad marry a Swedish woman there instead of a Mexican woman. Can you go back and do that?
No.
What's your nationality?
Mexican.
Yeah. That's a soccer nationality. It's not a basketball nationality. How tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
Come on, you're 14.
That's not bad for 14.
Adrian, that's like worrying about his penis size. I mean, yeah, there's something up here.
You saying he has a small penis, too?
No.
Adrian.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
All right.
Hey, Adrian.
Yeah.
Don't do that thing, though, that a lot of guys do, which is they don't get as tall as they'd like to get, so they get wider than they should be.
Okay.
And nothing worse than seeing a guy who's 5'9 and a half and 275 who's still doing tons, you know, he's bench pressing and doing squats and getting even wider.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Scares people, you know?
Okay.
All right, Adrian, you're fine.
Thanks.
All right. Good times. Now, what happened to the guy who was depressed? Did he hang up?
He's gone.
All right. Tyler?
Hi.
You're 18. What's up?
Tyler, Texas.
No, not Tyler, Texas.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But you're calling from Texas, right?
Yes, I am.
What's up there?
I guess I'm calling for a little bit of advice. Me and my father have not been on best of terms throughout my life.
What's been the problem?
Physical abuse, he has, I guess, a really bad... A lot of his problems come with jobs, and most of my life I've been living with my grandmother, mother.
What do you mean he comes with jobs?
Well, he's been in between... he got a degree from a college, and he's not been able to hold a decent job, so...
How come?
I don't know.
The man got him down, I think, Adam.
Yeah.
And it caused a lot of depression. He used to, you know, puke blood and stuff, but
puking blood is something alcoholics do.
Well, he did, and he's not an alcoholic. He's had a lot of problems, but he's getting his life back together. But it's almost like he's kind of forgotten about me. He's never been there for me. He's never shown any kind of, things that fathers do, he has not shown.
All right. Okay, what's the question then?
Well, I don't know how to express to him that he's wrong. He doesn't think that he is. He tells me that I'm wrong, that I've done things. I don't know. I use drugs. I've dropped out of school. He considers me the headache.
Yeah. Well, first off, how much contact do you have with him now?
Well, I only call him.
You don't live with him?
No, I still live with my grandmother.
And are you telling me he doesn't do drugs?
No, he does not.
Never did any drugs?
No.
Okay. Drew doesn't believe you, but that's beside the point. Tyler, here's the deal. Your dad's an idiot. He's a bad dad.
And confronting him is not going to somehow render him into a new dad.
No, I mean, that's the thing about bad people. Confronting him doesn't really do much.
In fact, it sometimes makes you feel worse.
Well,
yeah.
I had a letter in an envelope that it was in the mailbox, and then I heard your show, and I was like, I'm going to call and ask before I send this letter, and I was wondering if I could read some of it to you.
Sure.
Okay.
Does it rhyme?
No.
Oh.
With Nantucket?
Well, there once was a drunk from Tyler, Texas. All right, go ahead.
First line, as a father...
Right, how long is this thing?
I'll only... Just tell me to stop.
All right, just give us the bullet points. Go ahead.
Okay, as a father, you are dead to me.
It's a nice way to go. Is that Hallmark, or did you write that yourself?
I wrote that. I tried to remember growing up with you as a fun time, but all attempts have failed with tears and hate. We've been in between houses, jobs.
By the way, there's a good probability he's already stopped reading. Seriously, you give an idiot a letter like that, just stop reading it.
Yeah, keep going, Tyler. This is good.
I wish that I had not known you as a real person, but only as a weekend dad. That to me would have been better. I know at this point in my life I have failed myself with drugs, dropping out, and just being lazy. I hope to turn my life around. And I also want you to know that I do not wish anything bad to happen to you. In fact, I hope you have a good life and forgive you for not being there for me when I needed you. Also, I forgive you for hurting me physically. I know your temper and I pushed you, and I'm sorry for that. Sometimes I feel like I'm out of place and what I'm feeling is wrong. That's just me being a chicken and not...
Yeah, so I have a couple questions. How many times did he hurt you physically?
Not
that any times are okay. I was curious.
I remember being really little, and we lived with his best friend, and I did something. I remember it was a 2x4, and I just remember having bruises, and I was too little.
He hit you with a 2x4?
Several times.
Wow.
All right, but it's it's not 2x6 or a header stock,
over the top.
Hey, Tyler?
And where's Mom?
Well, hold on a second. Tyler?
Yes?
First off, I'd like you to peel off a copy of that and send it out to my dad. just a quick alteration about the part for forgiving him. For his anger, like, just cross that part out and then send it off. I'll give you the address off the air, right? All right, hey, Tyler?
Yeah.
Listen, here's the deal. I'm gonna wrap this up in about 20 seconds for you. You got a ton of feelings and a ton of energy, ton of hurt, ton of everything, anger and hurt about this whole situation. Unfortunately, you telling your dad this is not going to get the kind of satisfaction you want out of him. And it won't make you feel better. You think it will, but it won't.
The letter is okay. I'm certainly glad he's not trying to do it face-to-face.
Better to write the letter than even to send it. But here's the point, Tyler. You need to have a life for yourself. Your relationship with your dad will repair over time, and you can work that one out. You don't need to fix that first. Yeah. The first thing you need to do is have a good life. Make some money, be successful, get your education, get out of grandma's house, have everything focus on you, and your relationship with your dad will sort its way out as time goes on. But don't focus all your energy on dad.
And don't forget that if you are working a good program in your addiction recovery, you should be looking at forgiveness.
Right.
And that will be a more serene place.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Darnell, who has a theory. You know, it always frightens me when our callers have theories. His theory is to why guys like seeing girls pee on each other. But this should be fascinating after this. Yep, Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. Is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Crazy Town will be in here tomorrow night, and then Linkin Park will be in here.
We like Linkin Park.
On Sunday night. Yes, we do. And we may like Crazy Town, too. We never know. Darnell?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's hear your half-baked theory.
First of all, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, and I think my half-baked theory is a little more on than...
All right, let's hear it.
...than your panties-off thing, but... I think it's as guys, you know, we're more into the toilet stuff, and you know, peeing's like a big deal for us from early on. You know, we can stand up and pee anywhere, and so I think it's just you know, guys who get into that find validation, you know, in seeing a girl do it, and so that's a
what kind of validation? What do you mean validation? What does that mean?
This is, by the way, Darnell's theory on why guys like watching girls pee in the Hustler magazines.
In the Hustler stuff, are they peeing on people?
No, they're normally peeing on the ground.
So just watching them pee is theoretically what guys like?
Yeah.
In theory, yes.
Okay. And
that's where the smart money is.
Do you think it is some sort of transgender issue? That some sort of identification with mom or something?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I suppose it could do something, like, you know, some sort of association with why guys like wearing women's underwear as well.
Yeah, but what percentage of guys who jack off the Hustler enjoy wearing women's underpants? Hey, Darnell?
I'd assume a great deal.
Darnell,
yeah.
Do you get any action yourself?
Not lately.
Yeah, he assumes a great deal would want to jack off with underwear?
Shocking. You do think a great deal?
Of Hustler readers, probably like girls' undies.
Like the wear girls' underpants?
Yeah.
Really? Higher than 50%?
Probably around there. I don't know.
It's about 50% of the men who look at Hustler enjoy wearing women's underpants.
I don't know.
Darnell, you need to go to work for the college collecting data. Hey,
no, he's an epidemiologist. You didn't know that?
Darnell, what's up with you? What happened to you? You get dropped?
Me? No.
You mean on your head?
Where are you going? To junior college?
State university.
Yeah, that's almost junior.
I also have a manivation idea.
Oh, Darnell. hold on. Drew, you know how I'm constantly disappointed by our listeners' theories and ideas?
Now you've begun cringing.
Yes.
When you know they're coming.
He started this one off. He prefaced this with, I think this is going to be a little more insightful than the explanation you offered some nights ago.
And more than your lame listeners would normally offer.
Right. What was Darnell's theory about why men enjoy watching women urinate?
Because they like watching.
No, I still don't know what it was.
It was nothing.
Darnell. You had no explanation. Men like urine. That was your explanation.
Yeah, they're validated by urine.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Okay, give me the manivation.
Okay. Okay, have you seen the popularity in men's like shower products and such that is
sure, it's going through the roof.
Exactly.
Who can avoid it?
Exactly. Like,
what are you talking about?
Well, I think there should be a whole line of stuff that not only does, like, a body wash and shampoo and conditioner and stuff, but also doubles to help in the prostate maintenance department while you're in there.
How would that work?
How would that be different than soap?
Well, you can't necessarily use everything. I don't attempt it.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Darnell.
All right.
Thanks, but you keep writing down those ideas, all right?
Yeah, I'll keep plugging along.
Keep plugging along. I want you to write down all your theories, all your manivation ideas. Collect them, bind them, turn them in a book, and then douse them in kerosene and burn them on your lawn in some sort of ritual.
Right. All right, thanks.
All right, buddy. Bye. Keep rock and roll.
So, let's recap that one.
Well, the reason guys enjoy watching women pee on each other or just by themselves is because we feel a connection with urine.
No, standing up and urinating.
Yeah.
Somehow that reminds us of ourselves.
Right. Like 50% of men who read Hustler enjoy wearing women's underpants, at least 50%. And a great manivation for the year 2001 would be with the onslaught, the avalanche of male-related bathroom products you've been seeing lately.
Yes.
Such as there's something called soap and another thing called shampoo.
Ooh, yes.
Right?
Shocking.
Right? You can't walk 10 feet without seeing a billboard for soap or shampoo, men's soap or shampoo.
Who's ever heard of that before?
Here's something
his
else.
His will double as a lubricant.
Michael?
Yes.
You're 19. It never fails. I'm always disappointed by our callers. Thank you, Michael. Right. You're 19.
Well, my question is, ever since I was probably about 11 or 12, I've noticed that I've had oversized nipples. And all my weight seems to go to my stomach and my chest. And it's not that my whole chest is bigger, but my nipples are probably a little, I guess the circumference of them is a little bigger than a quarter, but they're about an inch. They stick out about an inch, and it's kind of embarrassing wearing.
No, your nipples do not stick out an inch.
It's pretty close.
The nipple itself.
Yes.
Just the pointy part of the nipple.
George, you include the fleshy stuff underneath.
No, yeah, that too.
Yeah, the fat underneath.
The whole thing's an inch.
Yeah, and I guess my question was, I wanted to know if that was something that could be from, if I have more estrogen than most males.
Yes, and that's probably, you said you're overweight.
I'm not overweight. I'm actually really thin everywhere. It's just all my weight seems to go to my stomach and my chest. And
yeah.
It's not like I have a huge chest or anything like that. It's not like from Fight Club, but it's just...
You smoke a lot of pot?
What's that?
Do you smoke a lot of pot?
No, I don't.
Okay.
How much do you weigh?
About 170.
How tall are you?
6'2".
No so way.
Not overweight. You just collect that weight.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... The weight issue's not a big deal. It's not noticeable at all. It's just...
Yeah. It's just... If you put on 1 pound, 13 ounces of that is in your boobs.
Everything else
it's
normal?
Bad times.
Normal hair distribution?
Right.
Normal sexual functioning?
Right.
He's got this gynecomastia.
Yeah.
And some guys have this.
Yeah.
I know, they have surgeries.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, but what are you removing when the guy's not really overweight? Wouldn't it just come back?
No, not necessarily.
Why not?
They take out some of the glandular tissue sometimes.
That would... Can contain the fat or produce it.
It just shrinks it back. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is if you
if he gained again, would it come back? No, the cells are gone.
The cells
that store the fat
is like the Tupperware that collects the fat.
Right.
So you remove the Tupperware, and you can only store so much chili con carne.
Right. More or less.
Hmm.
And there are certain sort of
they do that with liposuction.
Yeah, that's liposuction.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Well, I was always wondering because, you know, to me, liposuction was like removing the fat from the area. But obviously, if it's a place where you're prone to gain weight, you put on another 5 pounds, and that's where it's going.
No.
But it won't go there anymore.
You can't go there. No cells there to store it.
There's nothing to hold it.
Right. Go somewhere else.
Nice.
Should we do it?
About that. Yeah. I mean, if this is a situation where the guy's 6'2 and 170, and he has, you know, C-cups, this is something he's got to make a move on.
Mm-hmm.
Because... Lord knows he's 19. Wait till he's 6'2 and 235 when he's 20. When he's 31,
mm-hmm.
He's going to have D cups. Hey, Michael.
Yes.
You may want to consult a plastic surgeon and just say.
It's not quite as extreme as you're thinking. It's not the actual like the whole breast. It's just the nipple, but it's noticeable if I was to wear like a t-shirt or.
Yeah.
Well, nipples are what you got. Those aren't changing.
Those aren't changing.
Yeah, but what about what's behind the nipple that's sort of pushing it
spreading
forward?
Spreading it out, yeah.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
What about just a whole bunch of exercise, lots of push-ups and those kinds of things?
Well, if that'd work, it's...
Well, it couldn't hurt. I mean, what about doing something that really, like, isolates that muscle like flies?
Incline dumbbell presses.
Yeah.
Like okay.
You got any weights?
No, I don't.
Why don't you get yourself a weight bench, tip it up at an angle, and grab yourself, like, some 20-pound dumbbells and do those flies.
I'll give it a shot.
And just really see if you can blast that area for 2 months and see what if it does anything.
Okay.
Now the fat will sit on top of a muscle and stick out even further.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's gonna look nice. Hey, if that doesn't work, go to a plastic surgeon. Just see what he says.
Yeah.
Hey, worst case scenarios, you look at the before and after pictures. I'll go to a plastic surgeon every once in a while and just say, I'm looking for breast reduction for my girlfriend for her birthday. I'm shopping around. Can I see some, let me see the before book. Let me see the before book on the breast reduction and the after book on the breast augmentation, please.
And then how do you explain the fact that you run off to the bathroom right then?
Yes, I'm going to need a six-pack of Schlitz Tall Boys. Some paper towels and hold my calls, please. I'll be in the bathroom. And I'll need a chair to wedge against the bathroom door so no one comes in. Thank you. Yes, I've been known to do that many times. Chris?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Basically, I attend a college and I recently got into a a relationship with a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been going out for some time, and we recently had engaged in oral sex.
And she goes to the same college?
Yes. Hmm. She's in one of those youth outreach programs.
Mm. Right, right. They think they're getting a leg up. Really, they're just blowing older guys. Youth outreach. Here, reach for my penis. Reach out for the penis. Thank you. So would she be like an advanced student?
Because she's over here. She's from Indonesia. She's here on an F-1 visa.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
And, well...
she's there on a F-1 visa?
Yes.
Yeah. My family came over on an F-U visa. They stayed. They ended up staying.
Really?
Yeah. Huh? They're still being sought after by the federal government. All right. Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
Now, listen. First, she's from Indonesia, you say?
Yes.
Yeah, women start having sex there at 9. So she's considered an old maid in her native land. Number two, yeah, you guys are both in college. I'm all right with this. You like her?
Yeah, I like her a lot.
All right. Yeah, just take it slow. Treat her right.
How much different would it be if she were dating an 18 or 19-year-old?
Well, first
she's
off...
She's in college, so she's in school with.
Chris is a 21... Chris is a 20-year-old guy.
Who's...
He's got a little more 15 in him than he does...
Yes, yes.
Than he does 25.
Yep.
He's a 20-year-old guy. He's closer to 15 than to 25.
Yep.
And you'd rather have this 20-year-old date your daughter than one of these scumbag 16-year-olds that calls the show, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I was fingering my girlfriend, and then I would let my dog lick my finger, and then I was like, finger again. I want to know if I can give my dog a disease. You'd rather have this 20-year-old date your daughter than that guy, right?
Much.
What is the answer to that question?
We'll talk about it during the break.
All right. We'll be back. Oh yeah! Everybody now! Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Vinny Jones from Snatch is not in the building. He was slated to come out here tonight and has not made it. That's all right. Crazy Town will be in here tomorrow night, and then Linkin Park Sunday night. Have a little difficulty figuring out what day it is.
I wonder why that is. Because of
what? I don't know. I don't know what it is with me, but this week feels slower or faster.
Did you work on Monday?
I can't remember what it is. Did I work where?
Martin Luther King Day? Did you work at all? Because a lot of people took that day off. And
oh, yeah. What was it? Oh, I worked on my house.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you working on now?
I'm remodeling Jimmy's office.
Okay.
My funny partner.
He has an office in your house?
He has an office in his house, and it's getting gutted big time. It's time to orchestrate that. It takes a lot of orchestrating, building all the cabinets and all that good stuff. He has an eclectic taste, though, that Jimmy's a tough client.
Mm-hmm.
Kat?
Hello?
You're 16.
Yeah, I have a lot of, scars because I used to cut myself, and some of them are pretty, big and, ugly. And I was wondering if there's a way I could get rid of them, something I could put on them.
Where are the scars?
On my arms, and I have some on my legs and on my stomach.
That's the thing about scars. There's not a lot you can do about them. There's some laser techniques now. And
well, that's why they call them scars, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're scabs.
Otherwise, they're... Yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
on your belly.
Yeah.
You were cutting your belly?
Well, yeah.
And they're scars because you were picking at them?
Well, no.
She really went deep.
They went healed and...
You went real deep. Yes?
Kind of. Yeah, on my arms, I have some really bad scars.
Did you need stitches?
No, I don't know. They probably could have used stitches, but I don't know. They look really ugly.
All right, well, are you done cutting on yourself?
Well, I don't know. I haven't for, a long time, but I just recently did, so... I don't know. I try not to, but I've been starting to do that again lately.
Hmm. And if you're going to cut on yourself, could you go the other direction and create a sort of checkerboard pattern?
I suppose so.
Play a tic-tac-toe on your belly?
Do you have some kind of a dissociative disorder when you do these cutting? Do you dissociate?
What do you mean, exactly?
Anyone ever tell you have more than one personality?
No.
Or do you dissociate where you kind of don't know what you're doing when you cut?
Well, yeah, kind of.
What's up? Did someone abuse you?
I don't know, like, I guess not, like, overt, like, abuse, but kind of emotional abuse.
Yeah. Why do you think you're cutting on yourself?
Well, I went to see a psychiatrist a couple of months ago, and she said I'm bipolar, and I don't know. Does that have anything to do with it?
Sure, it's part of it.
Did she give you some...
I've been in a mental hospital a couple times.
Did she give you some medication?
Yeah.
Are you taking it?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Does it make you feel better?
Not really. Mm.
What about putting vitamin E on those scars?
Not likely to do much. And again, there's some lasers that can be maybe useful, and this thing's plastic surgeons.
That's really expensive, though, isn't it?
Yeah, whatever, well, okay. If you're looking for something cheap to try to get rid of those scars, ain't going to happen.
It can't?
Uh-huh.
Here's the deal, baby. They're called scars because they don't go away, but the good news is there's been a huge breakthroughs with this stuff, and I'd say just the last few years. And what they can do with the lasers is pretty marvelous. Maybe a little bit expensive, and it may not be the kind of thing you can deal with for a few years. So the first thing is don't cut anymore. Do your therapy. Stick with your program, your psychiatry. Take your medication and work on not adding any more scars.
And scars can shrink quite a bit.
Yeah, they'll shrink. And then in some time when your head's in a better place, then you can go get them removed and use a laser.
How much would that cost about?
It's about $100 a lineal inch.
Don't know. We don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Come on, baby. What's up?
Thanks.
You all right?
Yeah.
Well, why are you so freaked out?
Freaked out? I don't know.
Well, you just sound like you're in a bad way. You're 16. You got computers and VCRs. Enjoy. We didn't even have cable when I was growing up.
Yeah. You had on TV.
Yeah. Had nothing. Kat.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any friends?
Yeah, I have friends.
Talk to them. Hang out with them. Have a laugh.
I mean, I do. I, like, try not to, like, spend time alone, but...
All right.
Yeah. You go to a regular school?
No. I go to, like, an alternative school.
Oh, boy. So you, smoke cigarettes with your teachers during the break, call everyone by their first name, roll in at noon every day, and roll out of there about 1:15, 1:30?
Oh, no. I go from 1:30 to 7.
No. What the hell kind of school is that? That's a swing shift. That's not a school.
What alternative? What does that mean?
It's a smaller school. It's like.
Is it attached to a bigger school?
It's in the basement of a library.
All righty. God knows what's going on. Are you learning anything?
Yeah.
Okay, and you can apply those credits toward a GED one day.
No, I'm going to graduate high school.
All right, baby. Well, good. Enjoy yourself.
Okay.
Lighten up a little.
I'll try.
All right.
Thanks.
Relax. She sounds like she's like Atlas. The weight of the world on her back, This one. 16. Come on, everybody. Well, listen, I don't want to sound like Mary Poppins here, but...
Don't worry.
Your parents are a pain in the ass. I know that. The situation at home's not great, but find yourself some friends. Man, the best times I've had has been with my friends. They bailed me out of jail. They bailed me out of trouble. I've got to watch them have sex. It's great. And I hang out with your friends. Have a laugh with your friends. Hey, you guys got to get back with your friends, especially you chicks. You guys are so busy borrowing each other's sweaters and banging each other's boyfriends. You don't know what a good relationship's like. Get your buddies. See, women don't call them buddies. Think about that. They ain't buddies. They're my friend and the competition. They ain't buddies. Get some buddies. Jason?
Yeah.
You're 20.
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm just curious as to what's the big deal about women's breasts, because I know that I'm infatuated with them. I just love them. I work at a restaurant and I...
Oh, well, there you go. Enough said.
Yeah, there you go.
You work at a restaurant. They serve breasts.
Yeah, exactly. I see women coming in wearing pretty much not much.
Sure.
And plus, I'm in Orange County, so...
Yeah, got a lot of fake breasts around there.
Exactly.
Hey, you like breasts. Good. That's healthy.
Do you work at Twin Palms or something?
Makes you a man.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm just curious why. I mean,
well, it's,
when I
it's
down a, and look at it...
Look, I understand. It makes no rational sense. There are many.
Oh, yes, it does.
Well, hang on. There's many things that the human does that is not subject to rationality. And this is one of them. This is some part of our evolution, something that improved the propagation of the species.
To me, the main difference between a man and a woman is the cans, is the jugs.
Well, and you take
a very skinny, waify type woman, and what do you got? You got a teenage boy.
And this theory is that if you idealize parts of women's body, that's a way to distance oneself from a little intimacy.
Well, only if you cut them off and play with them in your basement.
The way you do. Okay.
Well, I didn't say I did. I didn't say I didn't. We'll take a little break. We'll be back after this.
We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
I'm Adam. That is my good buddy over there. Board certified for your comfort.
Somebody was calling in to say that Epstein-Barr virus is a herpes virus. Okay. I don't know if CMV is, though, cytomegalovirus.
Somebody said that EBV is a herpes virus.
Which, that makes sense to me. But I don't know that all monoviruses are herpes viruses.
So if you have Epstein-Barr virus, you may test positive for herpes?
No. It's more specific than that. It's just not an accurate test.
All right. I have not figured it out. To me, the only kind of testing I think about is dyno tuning with a car. And listen, either you pass a smog or you don't. I don't know about all this. We find herpes in your blood, but you don't have it. I don't understand all that testing business. And I'm not so sure Drew does either, to be quite honest with you. Michelle?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Actually, I'm 13. I just kind of said that.
You spazzed out?
Yeah, I guess, you know.
All right.
I don't really hear a lot of 13-year-olds call.
What's your question?
Well, I kind of have, like, an obsession with dating, like, older guys, you know?
How old?
Like, some might be 18 or older.
Are you a virgin?
No.
Mm. Was it with a 19-year-old that you lost your virginity?
It was my stepbrother when I was about 6.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy. Sure. Yeah. How old was he?
18.
Mm-hmm. And you were 6?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Can you see that kind of etches, like, something into your psyche, into your brain function?
Well, actually, it's weird because I don't really think about it that much.
No, you don't have to. If you thought about it, you might not do it.
Yeah, arousal and attraction does not come from the thinking part of your brain.
Yeah, like,
otherwise, people would always choose perfect partners then. If you could just think out, what do I want, what do I need, pow. It's not the way it works. Attraction and arousal is built on trauma.
Yeah.
Oftentimes. And in your case, it's true. Isn't that true?
That's a lovely thought.
But it's true. And here you are. Here's where it's etched into your chemistry.
I don't know. It's like all through I've been growing up, you know, I've been, like, raped and molested. And
well, that's all. But it all
put to my head.
But it all started back with that first experience when you were 6.
Yeah.
Who was raping you and molesting you growing up?
Well, like, I don't know, just people that I didn't even know sometimes, you know? And they would just, like,
just rape you and molest you?
Yeah, and I don't know, like, I tell, like, my friends sometimes, you know, and, like, they I know they wouldn't want to hear it because they wouldn't, like, they'd change the subject, you know? Mm. But I don't know, it's
Where are you calling from, by the way?
San Dimas, California.
I see.
Yeah, it's, like, around there, but
when you are really a high-caliber victim, there's sort of no end of victimizers lining up to get after you.
No, and you're 13.
Yeah.
And you could put together a good 20-year run of rape and molestation.
Well, no, she'll make a career of this. I mean, she'll get into porn or stripping or something.
Yes. Hey, well, don't damn her to porn or stripping just yet. Hey, Michelle?
Yeah.
What's up? Where's your stepbrother now?
Well, my stepdad also, like, fooled around with my sister
yeah.
a lot. And,
yeah.
like, so we left. We lived in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And we came out here, and my mom, like, wanted to start over, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I came out here, and I had a really rough time, ended up being stalked, and had to transfer schools many times, and...
Who stalked you?
Some 19-year-old guy. He was, like, one of my friends, older friends, you know? And they gave him my number, and he came to my door with a gun and got me in his car and took me to Pomona at the top of this hill, you know, and raped me and shot, like, right next to my head and left me there, so... You know, it
sounds like a dynamite individual.
I don't know. It's like, it's.
By the way, just going to Pomona is rape enough.
Rape one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just being abducted and taken to Pomona is enough cause for some serious therapy. Hey, Michelle?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hold on, baby. This, I'm telling you, if your life was an Etch-A-Sketch, I would shake it vigorously. Okay. Here's the deal. You got to stop.
Get help.
You have to get help. I mean, you cannot act out.
It's like, I write poetry, you know, I'm so, like, emotionally advanced.
It's not advanced, it's scarred.
Well, emotionally experienced.
It
does not mean advanced.
Most people haven't been raped by 13, although recent reports suggested at least 65% of the
Hustler readers.
Love line callers and Hustler readers have. Hey, Michelle.
Yeah.
You need therapy. You need counseling. You need a group.
I've tried.
Yeah, you've tried nothing. You're 13.
I tried it. You don't. I mean,
how many years did you try it for?
Like 2 or 3. I don't know. I've gone to a bunch of them, and I can't sit and tell somebody about my life, and I don't even know anything about them. You know, I'm not.
Well, what do you need to know anything about them for?
Because, I mean, I'm sitting there telling them stuff about me because they're professionalized and telling me what I should do to make.
All right, listen, let me dispel a very popular notion, which is more BS than it is notion. It's more of an excuse than it is notion. This guy's not my friend. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know me. I don't know him. Good. That's right. That's good. That's the way it should be. Same with the pilot who flies the plane. Same with the doctor who puts his finger up your ass. It's best you don't know him. Yeah. You understand? Mm-hmm. He's a professional or she's a professional and they're there to do a job. You two having a prior relationship or you knowing that they were divorced 2 times.
Screws it
and
up.
And had a little trouble with cough syrup in the mid-80s is not going to help.
Screws it up.
Yes, it makes it worse. You're there for you. They are professionals. It's like you going to a mechanic. He doesn't know my car. He's never driven my car. He wasn't there when I bought. He doesn't care. He's a professional who works on cars. What's that?
I don't worry about mechanics.
Yes. That's what you call a metaphor there, baby.
Yeah, I know.
You use that in your poetry.
Yeah, okay.
That and some simile.
And Michelle, if you don't want help, things are going to get worse.
Yeah. You're going to hook up with a whole bunch of older abusive guys. It's trouble.
And it's I suspect feelings of powerlessness are so profoundly overwhelming to you that you're not willing to trust somebody else. You're not willing to be open and feel that powerlessness in any way. You'd rather be in situations where you are indeed powerless, but believe that somehow you're in control of those situations, that they are your fault, that you were actually in control of them.
I don't know.
By acting those out over and over and over and over again.
I mean, it's not like I've been suicidal before, but it's not like I feel like deeply depressed, you know,
yeah,
or traumatized, but it's like I have this like link to like older guys.
You don't feel much of anything.
Listen, this link to older guys is going to undo you. Believe me, there's going to be more 19-year-olds taking you to Pomona.
Right. There's lots of them.
You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you tell your mom you need to get some help.
I don't talk to my mom.
Yeah, well,
the problem is that I don't get along good with my mom, and I can't just go up to her and say all this.
Well, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Send over my magic eagle to snatch you up and take you to my hillside hideaway?
I don't know.
Where you can be raised in peace?
No, but I mean,
it's not going to work.
How am I going to approach, like, talking to her about
you? I'm sorry. Okay, listen, Michelle, I'm going to put your whole life in a 10-second nutshell.
Oh, that's not good.
You listening?
Yeah.
Listen to me. I'm sorry for the hand that you got dealt in your life. Your mother is a mess. She chose a horrible, brutal stepfather. God knows what kind of shape your biological father's in, and I'm sorry for all the things that have happened to you up until this point in your life. Now, but you're wise beyond your years, and it's time to make a change, all right? You're aware of that.
Yeah.
Now you have 2 choices. There's 2 paths. One is counseling. One is reaching out. One is groups. One is relationships. One is therapy. And the other path is 19-year-olds with rancheros with Bondo all over the passenger door, pistols in Pomona.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your natural instinct, your gut instinct will take you to Pomona.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
where you will go, like the swallows coming home to Capistrano. You will go back to Pomona for more raping. I'm telling you this right now. Now, you're mature and you're aware. You can hear me. You're lucid.
I can hear you.
You have to go the other direction.
I know what
you have to.
But these older guys. But no. Adam, these older guys.
I don't care. And here's the tough part about that other direction. It's not easy. It's not Bill Cosby's not going to come over in a 15-tone sweater and agree to raise you in his palatial mansion.
It's not going to be as gratifying as going after the older guys.
You have to do it.
You have to do what you don't want to do.
You have to talk to a counselor at school.
It's like stopping drugs.
You have to talk to your mom.
It's the same
deal.
You have
to do it.
Same deal.
All right?
All
right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have fun on that
day. You know, what's fascinating about that part of the brain that gives us attractions and give us, you know, passions towards other people is that it doesn't learn. It doesn't learn.
No.
It does the same thing over. It's a repetition. And even though she ends up with a guy holding a gun to her head, still doesn't teach her to not go and get in the car with the 19-year-old again.
No.
Even if she says to herself, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to look for features of the guy that's not anything like that guy. She'll still find another victimizer.
No, well, the whole part about that side of the brain is so that the one little part that does seem to have some truth and some light never sees daylight.
Mm.
It's just about quieting that one little voice that tells you it's time for some therapy, it's time for some change. And no, the more you do it, the more you do it. It's like drugs. I mean, you want to do some blow, you'll do some blow, you'll do a little more and a little more and a little more. It feeds itself. It doesn't. You don't get it out of your system. It's not like, well, I did heroin all last week and I got my fill of that.
But it's not addiction, really. It's a repetition neurosis. It's
but this is, I mean, I'm no addiction medicine specialist, but I still believe I'm smarter than you are. And I can tell you that it's the same quality.
Yeah, has the same quality.
In that it has no end.
And it doesn't learn.
You do it in order to stop some pain in the immediate.
Right.
And it just has no bottom. It has no finish. It has no fourth quarter. No gun ever sounds. You just keep
engaging
going.
Engaging in the same behavior and expecting a different outcome.
Right. All right. We will hop to another call here.
Which is almost done.
Well, I thought that's enough. Emotionally, I need a break. Come on, let's go have a cigarette and a shot off the flask I keep strapped to my hip.
Jen.
Yes, hi.
19. What's up?
Not much. And actually, you guys, I really don't agree completely with the fact that quieting that one little voice for therapy is the only thing that happens. Because eventually you get to a point where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then that voice that says, you need to get help on this one.
Right.
It kicks in.
Yes, that's true. But some people die before that does kick in.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, what do you think I would say?
Pardon?
He was saying the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I'm 19, and...
Are you an addict? Is that what you know about being sick and tired?
Pardon?
Are you a recovering addict? Is
yes,
that,
I am.
Yeah.
Yes. And amongst an Al-Anon, et cetera, et cetera.
Were you a sex addict also?
No. Actually, the opposite. No, just booze and actually food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm recovering in several areas.
Were you an overeater or just...
A little bit of a compulsive eater where mm-hmm. I'd have the, you know, I'd binge for a week and then I'd starve myself for two. And it kept me out of trouble more than when I'd switch over to drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when I'd get in a little too much trouble with that, I'd go back to eating.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily, one day at a time, I get to have a...
What's the question now?
The question is, it seems that every time I engage in a sexual relationship, I lose interest in sex. And I just got out of a relationship of almost a year and a half, and you know, and before it ended, about 3 months into it, I started just losing interest in sex. And I've noticed that all along that's what happens. I'm wondering if that's normal. What's going on?
Well, there's two ways people can avoid intimacy. One is by engaging in sexual compulsivity, and the other is shutting down to sex. And so you had mentioned
you got that one that makes your boyfriend mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how often would you guys have sex?
Well, see, I would anyways, just to, you know, make him...
Oh, happy. Good times. Yeah, that's a good girl.
Well, yeah, gee, thanks.
Yeah, I like that. Like, God knows the amount of times I've had sex with someone who didn't want to have sex with me. I have no idea. Could be over 100%.
Over 100%.
It could be like 103%. I'm for the next three times I have sex, whatever, I'm doing it in advance. I'm calculating in advance. But I've been grateful each and every time and probably never knew the difference.
Probably.
So, listen, don't look at it as sex. Look at it as intimacy.
Okay.
And that's what you're pulling away from.
All right.
That's just, you're 19. I mean, it takes time to work this out. But when you're slowing down with the sex, do you feel yourself pulling out of the relationship?
No, just the opposite. I really want for lack of a better term, the warm fuzzies of just cuddling and watching movies and doing...
Do the guys stop delivering on that?
A lot of times, yes. And in fact, in this last one, I found out he, after a year and a half, he just was lying to me all along. It was really, really painful. But, and he probably has a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm. How old was he?
20.
I see.
Turned 20.
All right.
I don't know. I these things might sort themselves out. You've done some recovery. You're working on Al-Anon. You need some more growth. You need some more experience. You've made some bad choices with the guys. Maybe the instinct to pull back was actually a good one. You just didn't really listen to it. You know, maybe this is the wrong relationship.
Yeah. Well, you mean the lying alcoholic guy?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe that was...
How dare you.
Maybe that actually was an instinct that was good. I don't know. I think she just needs to... She's 19. She's working a program. Yeah. I bet these things will kind of sort out.
Well, and also, she's the kind of person... let me tell you something. Intimacy is something that goes last. I mean, intimate relationships.
What do you mean it goes last?
When you sort yourself out.
Oh, it gets better
last? What happens is... No, yeah. What I'm saying is people, you know, they drink or they do coke or they have an eating disorder, they do whatever. They get that under control.
Yeah.
They start going to meetings.
Yeah.
They got 18 months sobriety under their belt.
Right.
They're feeling pretty good about themselves. They're exercising. Their relationship with the family's better. Their work's better. Everything's better. Yet they're still having rocky relationships.
Sure.
And they want to know why. They've got themselves in order. They got their S together. Why not this? Why don't I just clear up this department? This department is much more involved.
It takes much longer. Yes, it's the most complex
and
most
sensitive. Even though you've gotten you were a mess at 17 and you're on top of the world at 19, this one may not clear up until 26.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, start drinking again. Chad?
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
Nothing. I was actually just wondering if you guys could call my girlfriend, try and salvage our relationship.
All righty. I got her number. You want me to call her in her cell or is she at home?
She's at home.
All right. And you think she'll pick up the phone?
Yeah.
And what do you mean salvage?
Well, you ever have one of those relationships where you get kind of mad at her for some reason? Like, not a big reason, but one of those little reasons, and then go have a few beers with buddies and then just talking like locker room trash to them?
I'm not sure we can salvage this one, or maybe we don't even want to.
Well, now, here's what we can do, Chad. Okay. If there is an event to undo, I think we can undo it. But if it's an overall type thing, we can't do it.
Well, I'm not sure he comes in and abuses her, and we're supposed to make that okay?
No, sure. I didn't abuse her at all.
I thought you said you came back and said something to her.
No. I was just talking with buddies. I was just, like, kind of upset, and I was just talking with buddies, and I was all just, dude, I don't know. I'm upset because I just got kind of jealous of her because she was going somewhere with a bunch of her friends.
So what is the salvage, then? What is it, the issue?
Why is she mad?
Yeah.
She broke up with me because... She said, because I was talking to my buddies, and I was like, well, I don't know if I should break up with her or something like that. And she just basically is over my jealousy and was over me saying...
Why do you keep referring back to what you spoke?
Stop talking about you and your buddies putting back some beers. Was she sitting next to you?
No, she wasn't.
So,
okay.
Why was she mad?
Why do you keep going back to what you said to your buddies if she wasn't privy to that information?
I don't know. She just...
I'm not sure we want to solve this one.
That's having trouble connecting the dots here.
Yeah.
Chad, you went out with your buddies and put back a few beers and talked about her.
Yeah.
Chad's 19, by the way.
What does she know about what you said about her?
Well, all right. It's kind of a long story. I didn't want to get into it.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
It's not a long story, though, so I'll keep it short.
All right.
It's a long story, but it's not a long story.
Did one of your buddies tattle on you? Did you
basically
come home?
Because one of my buddies is dating his dating her.
All right. Well, there you go. That's the connection we're looking for, Einstein.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ. It's like you keep saying you went over here and said something, not in front of this person. How the F are we supposed to know how they found out? Just say one of your drunken buddies squealed on you.
Sorry.
There we go. All right.
And that's what made her break up.
Yeah.
And you don't feel that way. You actually feel differently.
No, I am dead in love with her.
Have you told her that?
Yes.
How does she react to that?
She said that she still loves me, too.
Well, we need to get her side of the story.
Chicks always say
no,
that.
No. Chad, right. You're going to have to sit and listen while we get her side of the story, though.
All right.
Chad, you give Sarah the number off the air, and then we'll...
Did.
All right. Is Sarah... Hold on a second, Chad. First off, you got to break with any guy named Chad. It's too immature. Is
what do they get called when they grow up? By their middle name or something?
I don't know, like Chadwick, Chadley, Chadford, Chadman. What's Chad short for?
I don't know. Chaddick, Chadwick, Chadwick?
Chadwick?
I don't know.
Yeah.
What'd you ask him?
No. That's
going
to be a long story. Oh, my buddies was telling what my mom when she was naming me.
Chester, maybe? Yeah. Charles?
My buddies drinking beer with my mom. When they were looking through a book of names. Yeah. Hey, Sarah, so what are we going to do? We're going to call Chad's better half? Okay. This is great radio. I'm talking to Sarah. What do you see, Sarah?
We're going to take a break.
She's staring at the floor. All right, we'll take a little break. Drew, get some money out. We got to get something from that vending machine.
Yeah, I'm just thinking
I'm
that.
I'm peckish.
Where's your popcorn?
Oh, where's my popcorn? Where
let's
is
find
my
out.
Popcorn?
Let's find out.
All right, we're going on a popcorn quest. We may not be back if we don't find it. We may have to make a run. And then we'll get
Chad back.
We'll get Chad back, and we'll get Chad's girlfriend. We'll get to the bottom of this after this.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Yeah. Loveline, I'm Adam. That is Trusky over there. When we left off, we're speaking. We got a big tub of popcorn now, which somehow tastes stale, even though it just came right out of the bag.
Yeah.
You getting that vibe?
Yeah, a little bit. It's kind of weird.
All right, let's take it easy. Don't eat that into the mic, Drew. It's not going to be easy. When we left off, we're speaking to Chad. Chad is 19, went out, put a few beers back with some of his bros. Then one of them squealed when he talked about his old lady. She broke up with him. Chad's still in love, wants her back, wants to see if we can patch things up for her.
We want to hear her side of the story.
Yeah, that's right. That is Carrie. Carrie's, how old is Carrie? Carrie?
17.
What's up there, Carrie? Drew, easy on the corn.
All right.
Nothing. How are you?
What happened to the relationship with Chad?
Well, I'm sure you probably already heard his side of the story.
Yeah, we want to hear yours.
Where to start? We have gone out for probably like 15 months, on and off, a lot. I think that we both kind of have issues with being jealous of stuff that we shouldn't. But, like, there's lots of little stuff that has led me to be kind of like...
Oh, hold on. Drew, I'm going to go catch a nap in Likes' office. She come wake me up when she tells us why they broke up.
Right. Well, I think what she's building to is something that we hear all the time, is that she's been this thing's been over for a long time.
We went out to Chi-Chi Fridays, and I hit the Bacon Club.
Light on the lettuce.
The ranch
light
fries.
Mayo. Extra mustard. So, but he...
bottomless ice.
She's been telling him for a long time this is
that
over.
That was our first date.
I'm going back to eating popcorn. But the point is, though, he sees this whole thing as it just all of a sudden, out of the blue, one night I talked to a friend, and pow, the whole thing's over.
Guys
there,
always...
There's like another... The point is, like, I gave him...
The best months of your life?
A ton of chances to not be this way.
I'm not saying that it was a bad relationship, and it's not, and I still... It's just the fact that, like, there's more to it than I could ever explain to you guys on the phone.
Yes, but was
there's
there...
more, like, you're never going to know all of it, so you can't judge the situation.
Right, but that's where you're wrong. I judge people just based on their skin color. I don't need to know anything.
But you do.
No, I don't. I make plenty of judgment. That's all I do all night.
Well, listen,
I do it when I'm driving. I do it when I'm on
the
phone.
Is, though,
I cast judgment all the time.
Here's
I
the deal.
Know the person.
You're done with this relationship. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
You're done, period.
You're done because in 15 months, he's been a certain way. You know what way that is.
And you don't want to be with that.
And he ain't changing too fast. But is that accurate?
He'll change, but then
forget the details. Just get to the bottom line here. You're not open to it again. That's it.
Well, right? Don't talk her out of it.
No, I'm just curious. That's her position.
I just want to not have to deal with stuff right now. Like,
whoa. What do you mean?
Just not have to deal with having
Chad.
No, it's. I don't even know why I'm even discussing this with you guys right now.
Well, what's up in your life?
Just, like, school and stuff and...
You feel a lot of pressure?
Yeah.
Has Chad put more pressure on you?
No, not usually, but it kind of puts a strain on things when we get in fights about stupid stuff and...
Right.
Then he won't accept my apology and we will fight about it and... Never seems to get completely cleared up, and it all just adds up.
Mm-hmm. So is he a jealous guy?
Probably just as much as I'm a jealous girl.
Uh-huh. So you two both have an energy, and you clash a little bit.
Yeah.
And you've been asking for change for some time, and he hasn't accommodated that?
It's not that he doesn't try to accommodate, but somehow it always ends up to go... Like, he'll start going back to doing some of the stuff he did before.
Do you want to hear what he has to say?
Sure.
Yeah, let's put him on. How do we put him on? Drew, put him on at the same time, would you? Chad?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you heard that. It's not sounding too great.
No, I know.
I still see a little bit of light under the door.
You guys are just supposed to call her and tell her how much I love her and that I want her back, though.
Yeah, I know, but she's heard that BS before.
Yeah.
I mean, 15 months, come on.
Yeah.
She's heard it all. And this is what women do. They hear a lot of talk, they listen for a while, and then eventually they tune out.
Yeah.
And then Carrie's tuning out. But, Chad, why don't you give Carrie a quick pitch as to why she should be back in this relationship?
Well, I know you don't want to hear that I'll change again because I know that you've heard it before, and what's to think that I won't just change again for a little bit and then stop. But you mean more to me than anything in the world. And I can't even describe it, but I just love you very, very much, and I want to work everything out and just be with you.
Chad, this is Adam Carolla. I'm representing Carrie in the relationship. I think you're only making these claims of change because you've been dumped and shooken up.
Not at all.
I bet if my client never dumped you, it'd just be business as usual for you.
Well, Adam, you've been in a situation where when you get back in...
You get back
it
in.
It is business as usual.
You go right back to your old ways. Hey, you give it a few days, but then you're right back in. Why should we believe that's not going to be the case this time around?
Because I don't usually realize that, like, I take stuff out in stupid ways, and I act like a dumbass sometimes over stupid stuff. But I realize, though, it's like sometimes I don't realize what I've got until I've lost it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I know, like, she said before, you know, I don't know if I could do this again because we've been on and off a couple times.
Well, now, see, that was going to be my next question. How many times has this been?
Like five.
Uh-oh.
But see, that's the thing. Instead of we get in, like, little arguments, we break up over them instead of talking about them, getting them straightened out, you know?
Yeah. But on the other hand, maybe you guys are trying to force something along that wasn't meant to go along. I know I know how it is, especially when you're a guy and you're 19. You just think every relationship is going to be your last one.
No, not even that.
All right. Ooh.
Seriously, like it's not. I don't even think that, but I just know that how special she is and how much she means to me.
All right, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? You want to try one more time?
I think I don't really want to discuss this in front of.
Nah, we don't have any listeners.
Oh, really?
No.
That's ironic.
What do you think? You're angry at Chad, aren't you? Why are you angry at him? Because he's disappointed you? Because he hasn't changed?
Yeah. It's
right.
See, like I said before, there's like so much more to the situation.
Oh, I know. But listen, I know what it is.
You guys can judge it and make it part of your show and pick it apart and make jokes about it, but you'll never know.
Hey, Chad.
Yeah.
Now, Carrie sounds like a pain in the ass. Is she good looking?
She's gorgeous. And I'm a big bitch most of the time. But
right.
That's who I am.
Right. Hey, Chad?
Yeah.
Why don't you find someone who's a little more laid back?
She is laid back, though. She's beautiful. Yeah, she's
laid
like,
back like a Dalmatian on a double cappuccino.
No way. She's the greatest.
I don't know. I've just met Carrie. I'm not impressed. Carrie, you're good looking, though, right?
I'm not out to impress you, Adam, my friend.
Are you good looking?
She's gorgeous.
Yeah. Hey, Chad?
Yeah?
I don't know if you guys are, your personalities are working out too well. I got a bad vibe about this one. She needs a more artistic type.
I am artistic.
That's what I'm saying. You need a more artistic kind. Chad, no one named Chad is artistic, A, number one.
All right.
And B, number two, he's going out and slamming beers.
Why don't you guys call each other once you got up there here and sort of see what you want to do with this. This is not a way to end it here, certainly.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Just reconnect.
I don't know. You guys have broken up five times. I say this should be the last time. That's it. Chad, you need to move on, buddy. I know you're all wound up in getting her back, but why? Why are you acting out?
Because...
Why are you telling your buddies that you should break up with her if you're so in love with her?
Because it was one of those just dumb things that I...
No, that's not dumb. That's not dumb.
No, because have you ever said stuff that was completely irrelevant, that didn't mean anything at the time? You wake up the next morning, you're like,
no.
What the hell did I say?
Quite the contrary. You've said things that you denied yourself had meaning.
Right.
That ended up having quite a bit of meaning.
Yeah. Hey, Chad, if you're sitting around drinking beer telling your buddies you're thinking about breaking up with her, you're thinking about breaking up with her. This is not the love of your life. It's like if you had a car that you loved and adored, you wouldn't go out with your buddies, get drunk, talking about selling it. You'd be talking about waxing it. You'd be giving Carrie a little armor all. You think about that, Chad. I want you to think about why you're so desperate to get back with someone you were talking about breaking up with. What's that part of you? Why is this triggering people?
People are scared to death of losing that idealized
same
other.
Way.
Yeah.
Oh,
when you were that age, when you were 19, imagine how you clung on to stuff.
Oh, yeah, I was like Velcro.
Yeah.
Jesus, that Carrie sounds like a pain in the ass. So Chad's got his hands full. He really does. Chad's the artistic type. Carrie needs an older guy who's a little bohemian. Chad's a goofball who wants to chug some beers with his buds and then talk smack. Chad needs a goofy, good-looking chick who's not too bright. Carrie's good-looking, but she's a pain in the ass. Thank you. All right, ready to move forward?
Okay.
And Carrie's angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it didn't sound like she was just angry at Chad.
No.
It sounded like she had some general global hostility.
Yeah.
Yes, and I could see those two fighting pretty good. Reuben?
Yeah, that's me. What's up, man?
Hey, you're 25, Peppy.
I am. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. I'm working right now, so if there's a little static, then I apologize.
What are you doing?
I'm driving a taxi right now, and that's what my story and question relate to.
Yeah, wait a minute. You're not calling from L.A. or New York.
No, I'm calling from Palm Springs.
Oh,
yeah.
I landed here on Thanksgiving for Thanksgiving with some friends, and I decided to stay on for about 6 months.
No, it's amazing because you have almost no accent.
From where? Where'd you land from? Okay,
I'm from New York.
Why don't you ask him about that?
I'm from Ithaca, New York, to begin with.
Okay, hold on a second, though.
We've been to Ithaca. Hey, Reuben.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a quick question about taxi cabs.
Yeah, what's
is,
up?
How important is it that they have the goddamn scanner up at 10 when I'm sitting in the back seat and they're not paying any attention to it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. What's your name, first of all?
What's my name?
Is it Adam?
Yes.
Adam, okay, well, the importance of having the radio up
is
because if there's an important transmission that comes in from another driver, like, let's say there's a call along the way.
Driver down?
Yeah.
Code 11?
Yeah, you know. Anything,
sure.
You know, like...
Yeah, but why couldn't you just have it loud enough so that you could hear it? Because every time I get in a cab, it's like, hey, Bob's coming to the airport, okay, he says he's taking a shuttle, Rahi out to the airport. It's your patio out there. They're picking up the Candiani residences out in the airport. Today's Partini in Devonshire. Coming in and trying. Well, he gassed it up. He had the wrong edge. And I'm just sitting back there going, now I'm driving the cab.
Doesn't always sound
I'm
like
thinking.
Though they're in like a metal room, you know, a cave, and they're standing about 6 feet away from the microphone yelling at it?
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm the passenger in the cab. I ain't the co-cab pilot. You understand? I feel as if I should be pushing some buttons and flipping some levers at this point. I don't want to be that I'm not that fascinated by the cab process to be that involved by it. Shut that goddamn scanner down, or at least turn it down low enough so that only you can hear it. I swear to Christ, I know everything that's going on from the dispatch office every time I get in a cab. And I've driven around the world 3 times in a cab, and I've never had a driver respond to anything that was said. If they were getting back to the person and they were getting some useful information, then I wouldn't be as critical of it. But they never address it. We just hear it. So turn that thing down. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, right on.
All right, turn it up now, though. Let me hear. Put the phone down there.
You want to hear? Yeah. Why don't you hear a shout out from my dispatcher?
Let's hear what's going on.
Press the button here, and then
just turn it up. I want to hear some. Thing. I want to hear some right, conversation.
Ready?
Yeah.
Hold on. What's going on here?
So one
84, 83 to 84. You want to give a shout out to what's your name again? Whoever's on the radio.
Listen, you're a big fan of the show, Ruben. Hey, Ruben.
Yeah, well, no, my dispatcher.
Adam and Dr. Drew.
There you go. That's what it sounded like.
But they aren't stoners. They're usually some weird Johnny Quest
nationality.
Yeah.
Hey, man, Ruben.
I had to pass a drug test to get this job. Come on, man. Give me some credit.
All right. Well, he had one of your buddies urinate in a glass for you. So what is your question?
Oh, anyway, the story goes like this, and this is true. I'm 3 weeks into the job, right? Last week, I'm on my first night alone dispatching, right? And this means I'm the only driver out there. And
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. And what happens is that this guy's staring at me through the window of the cab, right? And I think he's weird, but whatever. You know, he's money. So, like, you know, he gets in and he says, take me to San Lorenzo. I don't know where that is yet. So I ask another driver, whatever, and I'll cut to the chase. During the ride, he starts jacking off in the passenger seat, and he's staring at me the entire time.
Yeah. Well, that's why you got that plexiglass shield in there, right?
No, we don't have it, man. We don't have it because this Palm Springs.
Oh, I see. I see.
That. So he's like sitting in the passenger seat, and I'm like looking at him, and he sees that I've noticed.
Well, he's in the back seat, right?
No, he's in the passenger seat, man. I made the mistake of, like, letting him sit next to me.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you put him on your lap and let him steer?
How did you figure you wouldn't notice, by the way?
Well, I don't know, man. Like, I don't think he was trying. I think, like, that was his game, man. You know, he was getting off on it.
All right, so you threw him out of the cab.
Well, no, I didn't, like, throw him out right away. I drove him back to the place I picked him up from, and you know, the fare was $7.88, but, like, I was like, hey, man, I was like, don't worry about the fare. Just get out of the cab.
Yeah.
And he throws a 20 on the seat.
All right, fine. And,
yeah.
It's still stuck to its seat, right?
What's that?
It's still stuck to the seat?
Yeah, there's a little bit of jizz on there.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice.
All right, Roman. Thanks for that story. I don't know what his question was. I just had to hang up before he asked me who I was one more time. How many times? Why are you calling in? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm looking for Bob Hope Drive. Yeah, I'm going to Palm Desert Drive. I got a fair insurance. Oh, it never ends in those cases. It never, ever ends, and they never talk back to them. All right. I got some things I'd like to change. That's all.
When you're in charge.
You ever take cabs in New York and they have those pre-recorded things in there? Hello, this is Eartha Kitt. You know me as Catwoman. It's like, yeah. So put your seatbelt on. And I'm like, yeah. Eartha Kitt. Yeah, Eartha Kitt, oh, sure.
And taxi character.
Yeah, Catwoman. I when I think of Catwoman, I think passive restraint. That's what I think. I think airbags, shoulder harnesses, side impact beams. I think about automotive safety. I've always had. Because that was one of her sidelines in Batman. She not only played Catwoman, but I think she worked for the GM company doing the safety testing.
Judd Hirsch is the other one, right?
Judd Hirsch, yeah. All right, you guys got to go to New York and get in a cab and listen to all the half-baked celebrities. You know you've bottomed out as a celebrity when you're doing pre-recorded cab messages for the city of New York about putting your belt on.
Nice.
And by the way, I've never put a belt on in one of those cabs. We will take a break. We'll be back.
Hello? Is this Loveline?
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back.
She's just screwed. We almost got through that bag of popcorn in the break.
Time for another one.
We shouldn't have talked. I think we both could have squeezed in another 18 to 25 kernels had we not had that sort of chatter
and
in
breathing.
Between. Yeah. No more. Okay, mental note. No breathing while I'm eating. Eric?
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
How's it going? Well, I have a problem. Basically, every time I have sex with my girlfriend, we've been having sex for about 3 months now, and basically, I keep coming after about 3 minutes, and nothing has changed. Like, every single time, it seems like...
Can you do a second round here?
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It just, like...
What happened the second time around?
Basically, I don't know. It's basically the same, a little bit longer, but it's the same idea. I don't know what to do.
How about another time around?
Kind of painful after that. But, I mean, I've listened to you guys, your show, a lot, and basically I've heard you guys talk about how after a while you can build up a tolerance maybe or something, but that never happened to me.
At 17, it's tough.
You mean to sex?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're screwed.
No.
Huh? I mean, it comes real fast,
right? He'll figure it out. He'll figure it out.
Well, I never said you could build up a tolerance.
Well, you mean you always tell people to...
Not a tolerance, but it gets easier to go longer as time
right, to
goes
masturbate
on.
Beforehand.
Well, you just don't care. At 17, you think potentially you're going to be the world's greatest lover, and then you realize you suck. Do you have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Is she a steady? Been that way for a while?
Yeah. It's 7 months.
7 months?
Yeah, pretty kind of long, I think.
Yeah, that's 6 years when you're my age. So, listen, Eric, is she cool? I mean, can you talk about this stuff?
Yeah.
All right. You sound fairly adjusted. You sound like you get your feet on the ground. You communicate with her. You guys have a decent relationship. It's just the kind of thing you just work out.
Mm-hmm. Is she upset by him?
No, I mean...
Yeah, no magic
you'll
answer.
Work this out. You'll work this out.
Yeah, I mean, how about some of that dong-numbing cream you order in the back of the Hustler magazine?
No.
Wisdom of the Orient brought to the States.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. You can't rub a little Coke on your dork before you get it on?
Yeah, that could work.
No, come on.
No. How about a little... Hey, Drew, seriously, how about a little, like, Preparation H?
No.
How about something that numbs a little bit?
There's some very powerful numbing agents out there, but that's
yeah. What about it?
I'm not
about numbing that dork a little bit.
It's an interesting idea, but I don't
numb
think
down.
Gonna...
What about it? It's not going to hurt you. I mean, hell, if you can rub a tube of it on your ass, certainly put a little dollop on the joint.
Yeah, but I don't know that it would make a difference. I mean, think it's a spinal reflex. I mean, think about.
On the other hand, she may not have a bunch of ass cream up her.
Mm, that's true. She gets numb too.
Oh, interesting. Hey, Eric. Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I'm coming on to something with this Preparation H.
Put a condom on over the lidocaine jelly.
Ooh. Do you wear a condom?
Yeah.
Hey, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Do me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is a numbing agent, Drew?
Xylocaine?
Yeah. What would you use that for?
Like gum, numbing gum up and things.
Yeah, but that might be a little tough on the sensitive skin down there that covers the Johnson. What about a little Preparation H? What does that do?
You're hell-bent on that.
Yeah, I like the ice cream. Well, it's the same region. Does that numb you? Would that numb you?
I don't think
does Preparation H do?
It shrinks inflamed tissues.
What is that what hemorrhoid cream does?
Yeah.
So what would have some numbing? So some of that like Orajel, something like that would have like a numbing effect?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, if you're slapping it inside your mouth, that ain't going to hurt you.
What's the xylocaine jelly again?
Hey, Eric?
Yeah.
Go down to the drugstore.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm not recommending
Drew
this.
Drew does not endorse this. And I'm not a doctor. But I got a gut feeling about this one.
Oh, okay.
Grab just a little bit of that Orajel. Just a little dab of that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Stuff you put on your wisdom tooth when it hurts?
Right.
Spread just a little dollop of that on the dork.
Mm-hmm.
And then put the condom over that.
Okay.
Now, don't get any on the outside of the condom. Keep it on the inside.
All right.
Now, you think that will eat away the condom?
I mean, you get the urethritis, so that'll be nice.
Oh, really? You don't think that'll work? Drew does think it'll work. Put a little on the Johnson, see what it does.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Good times, buddy.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. You numb that penis. You get an extra couple strokes out of it. Huh? God. That's good times, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm on to something. I think you get some of that for myself. Mikey?
Yeah.
Are you Mickey or Mikey?
Mikey.
What's up there, Mikey?
Well, first I wanted to know if TV Guide was right in saying that you were resigning from Loveline.
I don't. You mean that article that was on Jimmy?
Jimmy Kimmel? Yeah.
I don't know. Did it say I was resigning from Loveline?
Yeah, it said you'd already left Loveline.
Hmm. Well, maybe they're talking about the TV show.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought, but it didn't say anything about Drew. It just said about you.
Well, America doesn't know Drew's name, so it would be confusing to them. And the long-winded explanation would take up too many words on the page.
Okay.
No, I'm here. I'm completely
committed. Everyone knows that I'm my sidekick, so.
I'm completely committed to this show, at least for another 30 seconds, so hurry.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to talk about is that girl, Michelle, who called earlier.
Yes.
And I wanted to say that she really needs to get help now, because almost the same thing happened to me. I was sexually abused from the time I was 6, and I went to a therapist finally when I was 23, but I had to leave him after 9 months, and he then maintained the relationship with me as a daddy. Yeah. And he physically and sexually abused me for over 2 years.
It's amazing the way we find those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Mikey. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'm sorry about that. I really am.
Okay.
And I hope you're doing okay now.
Well, I am, and I just wanted to say that she needs to get help now so she doesn't go through the garbage I went through.
Yes, and I'm glad.
It's a great message.
I'm glad you called up and sent that message. And I guess the more important message was, don't find a therapist. He's going to call you. You're going to call him daddy, and he's going to continue raping her.
Recommended by somebody.
Was that her message?
Legitimate.
All right, we'll be back. Well, there you have it. Another fabulous episode of Loveline. In the can, as we call it. Tomorrow night, Crazy Town will be in here. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station.
The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingold.
Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.